Just as we head into the bye week, laid out to the team and the staff just what our objectives are for this period of time. You're taking this opportunity to learn, really understand the why of where we are. You know, being a 2-8 football team forces you to question yourself, question your methods. And the fact of the matter is we're not playing good enough football. We're not playing complete football games. Not playing well enough. We're not coaching well enough. And we have to, that all has to be improved. You know, we're not going to look back and make excuses and talk about what ifs. You know, we own the fact that our record is what it is. Like I said, we're going to come to an understanding of the why, and do what we can to get it fixed. Gives us the opportunity to do just that. Need to look at the instances of where we've had success and find a way to do that consistently. We've played good football for stretches of time, good enough to win. But it just had, again, it's the consistency, it's the complete game part of it that's been lacking. We're going to be on the field tomorrow, more of a teaching day, given that we're so close to the game. Wednesday we'll put the pads on, have a good session, get quality days of so we can get something out of this, and then let our guys get away, get refreshed, refocused for the stretch run. You know, staff-wise, we'll work a little bit longer and look to figure some of these things out as well. I'll open it up.
Mike, you have this in the Hawkins situation, the concussion. I understand he's out.
Yeah, they kept him overnight. He is back in town. So everything was from a testing standpoint. I mean, he's in the concussion protocol, but everything, you know, for the reasons they hospitalized him, he all the tests were negative.
On the radio, us or whatever, talking about, well, will Patton survive? Will the regime survive? But and some of those voices are that, no, they can't. The numbers are too bad. And this is a place where coaches have been fired repeatedly and oftentimes after short terms. So that's all out there, and that'll be a bi-week conversation. But in terms of you, I assume you would want to come back. Would ask you what is in your mind in terms of whether you think you have a decent chance to come back.
Well, my mindset hasn't changed. One, I've addressed this before. I don't operate like that. I don't think you can work that way, or else it just becomes self-fulfilling. If you start coaching to save your job, then you're not doing your job. So again, that doesn't factor it in for me. I mean, I'm passionate about my job. I love it here in Cleveland. I love the guys in the locker room, the staff. And there's nothing that I want more for this team and for this city to be successful. So while I'm still sitting in this chair, I'm going to do everything I can to make that possible. Do these things happen overnight? You know, it's difficult. You know, the way the league is set up, just to, you know, to turn it quick, but nobody wants to hear that. We are in an age of instant gratification and win now, and we all understand that. And it's all about, you know, you can be headed in the right direction in a lot of different phases of the program, but when you're not winning, that's what we're all ultimately judged on. And as I've said before, this is a pass-fail league, and we have failed a heck of a lot more times than we have passed, and that's the bottom line.
But are you prepared to say that you're going to stick with Johnny as a starter?
I'm not prepared to say that, but that's a conversation that certainly will be had.
What are the factors that you will take into consideration?
With that question? I mean, we'll talk about all of it, just to go back to yesterday and echo, the film showed it even more. I mean, he showed significant progress. I mean, that was one of the better quarterbacking performances I mean, you take the first play out, which you can't forget about. The ball slipped out of his hand. But the fact that he rallied from that, being on the road in that environment, I've seen where things have gone bad early and guys go in the tank and they get that glazed look in their eye. He was the exact opposite. I mean, he was loose. He was into it. I thought he did an outstanding job in between series, getting input from the other quarterbacks and Flip, and then on the headset with Kev. I mean, I just thought the improvement that he made from the Cincinnati game to this one, I mean, it was a leap. And it's, you know, kind of given what he's gone through, you're just proud of the kid and happy for him, and just wish we had a better result from a team standpoint. Because, pardon my French, he played his ass off.
Mike, part of that being staying in the pocket, making the read, delivering the ball from there,
basically kind of the opposite of what, you were saying about him in Cincinnati.
Well, that's a big part of it. And playing quarterback in the NFL and it's as simple as it sounds, it's take what's there. So if you can make your read, as you're dropping back, and first of all, you gather your information pre-snap. Here's what it looks like based on this front or the spin of the safeties. I think I'm getting this coverage. We might have something in the formation that's going to tell us man or zone, something that'll uncover maybe some information there, and then use it based on the route combination. Where's this ball need to go? So by the time he hits his plant step, if he knows what coverage you're in, he knows where to go with the ball and can deliver it on time and accurate throw, then we're on to the next play. And that's what good quarterback play is all about. And he did a much better job of that this game than he did before. But the unique thing about Johnny, as we all know, is when that's not there, when he's got to go to the second read and it's not there, and then the play starts to – that maybe the pocket starts to break down and he's got to move and get out. And make a play that he has a unique ability to do that. And that's where we're looking for the best of both worlds. Take the plays that are there, but when it does get extended, go ahead and do your thing.
You've told us all along that you don't play the quarterback that gives you the best chance to win. So is that going to change at all?
We haven't discussed it yet, so I don't know if I'm probably the next time I sit in front of you, I'll be able to answer that. I'm very active with the defense now as it is. I get together with Jimmy each week. Well versed in on the call sheet. What he is calling, and I do the exercise often, and I'll help him in game, and we'll talk some in between series. But what he's calling is not all that different, because he and I were kind of raised together in it, and he and I did all the game plans together in New York, and we're together in Buffalo, so he understands the thinking of it. So I don't know if we're ready for that drastic a move. We need to play better. We need to play better defensively. We need to trust our technique. You get some guys out there, some young guys that fall back into some old habits on game day, things that they execute and practice well, footwork, getting hands on guys, that type of stuff that unfortunately you get guys into games and they kind of lose their minds a little bit. So I don't want to – we gave up some big plays that way, but I'm not looking for, as a result, to just look to make wholesale changes. We know there's corrections that need to be made, but I don't I wouldn't put it at something where it needs to be drastic.
Could you expand on that a little bit, Mike? Because I think there's a perception out there when you said – early on that you're going to spend more time with the offense, mm-hmm. that you're kind of like leaving the defense alone. So through
no,
the week.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. Just it's a shift in emphasis that I'll be in both game plan meetings, but have spent much more time on the offense. I'll even, get in with Tabes just to see where his thoughts are. We meet as coordinators each week to discuss the plan. So then that way all of us together understand the plight of and that's where I can tie the sides together where, hey, listen, there's we're going to need to be a certain way offensively because of what our circumstances are on D. and vice versa, whether or not we need to try to steal a possession on special teams, whatever those factors are. So it wasn't at extremes like last year. I was all involved in the D, and now this year I'm all involved in the O. It's just been a shift in emphasis.
Mike, Roethlisberger just kept throwing. It didn't appear to be any safety help at all. Why wasn't there an adjustment there? It looked like the game plan was set up for Landry Jones, and then when Ben went in, you guys stayed in what you were trying to do. How do you explain that?
There were a lot of plays where there were safety help. So, and there are times where in our defense, our corners are going to have to play. They're going to have to play on top man. And he caught us a bunch of times when we were in those situations. You know, sometimes you want to force the long ball. If you're going to force it somewhere, you got to make it be the longest throw and make it beat it to number one to the field side. And we got to do a better job staying on top. Your issues are when you're not a cover two team, where you're going to have safety help on both sides, when that's not what you are, and that's not what the system has ever been. Then you're going to be rolling one side or the other, and they did a good job of finding the side that we weren't rolling to. I think at times our safeties didn't disguise well enough and gave him a little bit of information pre-snap on where to go with the football. So this system has been in place. I have roots in it going way back, and it's had a lot of success. So I'm not going to get here and sitting here and think that, you know, that we have to switch to be a cover two team with two high safeties in order to be successful. Because then it's pick your poison. Then you have issues defending the run when you only have seven defenders down. They can get a helmet on a helmet. So I'm not going to get deep into scheme discussions.
We've seen it the other way here, where Jeff Garcia absolutely didn't want to mentor Luke McCown, and Dilfer certainly didn't want to mentor Charlie Fry. It seems that it seems almost obvious that the guy you have now, Josh McCown, is kind of an ideal mentor for Manziel. Even in contrast to Brian last year, was fighting for his career and wasn't as interested in being a mentor to me. Is that fair to say, though, that Josh McCown is the ideal mentor for Johnny Manziel?
Well, I mean, I think there's already been evidence of that. You want to talk about why Johnny's made the improvement that he's made. Josh is a big part of that. And I've talked a lot about this before, that I think it's a combination of a lot of things. It's Johnny's want to, along with what we're doing schematically for him, what Kevin O'Connell's been able to bring to that room as far as accountability. But Josh has been a big part of it. To have that guy in the room that has his personality and sets the example that he can set. He has been a mentor for him, especially the weeks that he hasn't been down.
Mike,
he's been down.
Any clarification from the league at all about what's going on with Johnny's case? Because
I mean,
as you're trying to make this decision, isn't this kind of hanging over your head?
I haven't heard anything.
Why don't you guys check in with them and say, hey, we're trying to run a football team and see who to start and things like that?
I'm not part of that, so all I know is that I haven't heard anything.
Got the concussion. Should there have been a flag on Jones?
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on whether or not we submit plays into the officials and find out. And especially, I'm not going to comment on ones, especially that could potentially have discipline implications. Yeah, that is a hypothetical, but sure. I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that we all see what type of competitor he is. Yeah, wouldn't be an easy one.
Hey, Mike, you started out by saying this is the time where you question yourself and you question your methods. What self-evaluating are you doing here during the bye week? What do you feel like you should have done different, or is it too early to start looking back that way?
Well, I think you got to be careful. You got to walk the middle ground between questioning everything that you do. You have to sort it out. What are we doing well? Because if you panic and just say we have to change everything, and the players sense that too, that we believe in what we do, that we can put together a lot of clips of us playing at a high level, capable of winning a lot of football games against good film, against good teams, but haven't found a way to finish. You know, had a great opportunity to win, you know, to beat Denver here. Great opportunity, to, you know, had a 10-point lead at halftime on Arizona. I mean, the Jets game, even going back to that one, the circumstances of that one, the games have, you know, some of them have gotten away from us from the end, but there's been pivotal points in every game that you know, have gone the other way, and that's why we are where we are. So you don't want to just wholesale question what you're doing, but you got to isolate it, and I think it still falls back to when you have negative plays, you look at the why. Is it something schematic? Is it something from a technique standpoint, or is it something from a personnel standpoint? And you know, as you pile up answers in each category, that steers you to a solution. If it's schematic, well, we got to change it or throw it out. If it's technical, we got to practice it better. And if it's personnel, we got to shake up the lineup.
Mike, given that you had this one-on-one meeting with Jimmy, when you're making this quarterback decision this week, is this still purely a coaching decision, or is Jimmy or anybody else kind of giving you their two cents?
No, I don't know. I know a lot was made of this meeting with Jimmy. I mean, it was just a regular scheduled meeting at the midway point. We had it last year as well. So, and we get together. Most of our meetings take place on the practice field. Sometimes we'll get together in his office, sometimes in mine. But we meet often when he's in town. So, we'll talk at some point during this time off, and we'll hit a lot of points. We'll cover a lot of ground, and I'm sure the quarterback situation will be one. For the most part, yes. Is it 100%? I don't know if I could say that, but I would say for the most part, our guys have been very, very professional, very receptive. You know, is everybody bought in? No, but sometimes that's, you know, it's tough when guys aren't playing well. They, you know, those are some of the things that come up. So, I feel our guys for the most part are competitive, they're prideful, they play hard.
What surprises you most that hasn't worked? Maybe it's like the run offense, the run defense.
I would say that if you look back to the preseason and kind of going into this year, that the two groups that we thought were going to be anchors for us were the offensive line and the secondary, and have both underperformed for a variety of reasons to this point.
Joe Hayden. Is it more than just Joe Hayden?
I think it's more than that. But when your best defensive player's not out there, and when he has been out there, has had some struggles, because when he's not in there and he's not practicing fully, and just from a repetition standpoint, you know, continuity, being out there getting the work, that I know it's been a frustrating year for Joe, and that's had a ripple effect. You look at a guy like, you know, Pierre, who now has to, who's forced now to be your, essentially your, you know, pushes Tremont to the number one corner. It pushes Pierre, or even we had Gaines out there, Batamosi, to the number two. That's not what their role was intended to be. But when they get pushed up and they're out there in those roles probably sooner than they should be, that's the effect that it has. So, but I don't want to lay all of our defensive struggles on not having Joe Hayden, but that's certainly been a part of it.
No.
Can you explain the theory, the philosophy behind using Crowell in a Wildcat in red zone? It seems to me that he's only going to run with the ball, so what is that? How is that an effective play call?
Because you, what you do is you lighten the box, so you're running two back runs against one back spacing. So if I had a grease board, I could draw it for you. But if you just look at the Wildcat over the history, you know what the purpose of it is. One, it forces teams to prepare for it. So something that's easy for us, nothing changes for the line, the blocking scheme doesn't change, but it causes, from a defensive perspective, because I've been there, it causes adjustments. How are you going to handle the quarterback that split out? Is it a check? Now on all your defenses, you got to install a Wildcat check. Or is this a play it? Or how are we going to handle our mans versus our zones? Are we going to adjust the front? So with something that's easy for us that we can run one or two plays every now and again is a body punch to an opposing defense because of the preparation time that it takes. And also, if you just look at the math of it, like I said, you have the ability to run two back runs, but they have to have one less defender because you're essentially in a single wing type mentality. So all those things, whether it's empty, now we haven't been a lot of unbalanced line, but empty, unbalanced line, Wildcat, those types of things all are easy for the offense to do and cause preparation time, and you get a chance to hit a play against a defense.